Spooked by the clatter of the helicopter, the bighorn sheep was in full flight. I watched him run, 150 pounds of compact muscle behind a set of thick, curled horns, bounding over fallen pines, dodging snow-covered boulders, and busting through scrub brush like a fullback seeking daylight. It was March 1998. My pilot and I were an hour into our annual bighorn sheep census, conducted each spring after most of the snow disappears from the slopes and canyons in Montana's Beartooth Wildlife Management Area. The chopper was spinning, circling, and buzzing the canyon walls like an acrobatic mosquito looking for a way through a bug net. From any vantage point, it's stunning country, but seen through the clear bubble cockpit of a Hughes 500 helicopter, it was downright sublime. To the south was the limestone labyrinth Lewis and Clark dubbed the Gates of the Mountains. To the west, the 6,792-foot profile of a reclining behemoth in the Sleeping Giant Wilderness Study Area, his feet toward the Continental Divide, his craggy face eyeing the gates. In between, a twisting aquatic cleaver was the mighty Missouri River. In 1805, Meriwether Lewis, the first man with a quill pen to gaze upon this stretch of river, raved in his journal about the most remarkable cliffs that we have yet seen. These cliffs rise from water's edge on either side perpendicularly to the height of 1,200 feet. The towering and projecting rocks in many places seem ready to tumble on us. Shoddy spelling aside, the good captain's description remains spot on 2 centuries later. After passing through the gates of the mountains, he also marveled at the big-horned animals that bound from cliff to cliff. While I appreciated the landscape, glancing from the map to my clipboard, to the ground, and back again in a bucking whirlybird left my guts in turmoil. With both side panels open, the cockpit was freezing, the stench of aviation fuel overwhelming, and the din of the rotor blades nearly deafening, even with headphones on. While I get nauseous on virtually every aerial survey I do, I've learned a few tricks along the way. On my first flight, as a raw 25-year-old wildlife biology grad student, I chowed down a breakfast of pancakes, eggs, and bacon before takeoff, and promptly deposited the meal into an airsickness bag. When our plane finally touched down, the pilot had to buzz a herd of antelope grazing on our remote landing strip, I staggered outside, stepped into a badger hole, and splattered the contents of the bag onto my fishing game Carhartt jacket. Luckily, the jacket was old and a gift from a local biologist. But what a waste of bacon! Now I eat only a light breakfast before flying and always carry an empty coffee can by my feet. Folgers. The coffee's okay, but the lid is fantastic. Snug as a drum. On this flight, the bighorn ram that had been scampering up the mountainside at a right angle suddenly swerved toward a fissure in a rocky ledge, sand flying under his hooves. That's weird, I thought. Why would it change direction so abruptly? Then I saw the answer. The hair on my arm stood up, my pulse quickened. Whoa, I shouted. Then a phrase I sometimes use when awe and adrenaline flood my monkey brain. Holy crap! Pilot Doug Goetz confirmed. Mountain lion, closing fast. The stealthy cat had been lying in wait and materialized from the mountainside like a submarine surfacing, invisible one moment and in the frame all at once in the next. It was 8 feet long from the tip of its nose to the end of its outstretched brown tail and hurtling toward the ram at full speed. Mountain lions in the Beartooth prey primarily on deer and elk, although obviously they occasionally kill bighorn sheep as well. In the years that I'd been tracking, treeing, tranquilizing, and tagging lions with their identifying ear tags and radio collars, I'd come upon the eviscerated bodies of many a ram, elk, and mule deer that fell victim to these perfect killing machines. But while I'd seen cats on the move from the air, never had I witnessed one in full attack mode. In fact, very few humans have. Mountain lions hunt best at dawn and dusk. We biologists call this twilight lifestyle crepuscular, and cats are especially well-equipped for these low-light conditions. Their enormous eyes have lots of rods and not so many cones, meaning they can see in the dark, but probably not in color. When teaching school children about wildlife, I often pass around a skull, ask them to describe the bear skull, and every one of them says the same thing, teeth. Ask about a mountain lion skull, and they say eyes. Those two massive holes tell the story of how these lions hunt. Solitary, stalk-ambush predators, mountain lions surprised their prey from behind, raking the flanks before crushing the throat for a swift kill. Known to some as the Ghost of the Rockies, their stealth and amazing athleticism, along with their shadowy life in the dusk and dark, help explain why they are the only large cat on the planet not dwindling in numbers. In fact, they've been able to reclaim some of their former habitat in recent years, with lone dispersers migrating as far east as Connecticut. Remarkable, though they have yet to establish viable resident populations in the east, outside of Florida.